drive across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment, presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the Fergie bombshells keep on coming. Arnold Schwarzenegger's latest paycheck. We preview the Nobel Peace Prize and ask, will Barnsley perform live? And cybersex. What's all that about? We've got further explosive bouts of radio gladiators and sticky beaks, news of the 10-cent heist, and popping by for her usual bit of on-air therapy. It's that nice Judith Lucy. Yes, it's all coming up on the program. Tim Fisher describes as a major threat to export revenue. Martin Malloy. Tina Arena with Sorrento Moon. Good afternoon, Australia. It's Martin Malloy yet again with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, Paula Yates' new nanny, Mick Malloy.
And things are changing. Those smarties are going under my bed.
Oh, yes, yes. What a good nanny that must be. Checking the smarties, even inside the smarty packets. We'll get to that later.
Yep.
All right, well, you know, it's not been a big day for news.
Nope.
I think you can say that.
Yep.
And what do? When there ain't much news, well, we turn to the royal family, and they very rarely let us down. What's going on now? I hope you're not going to be reading more extracts from that new Fergie book.
Well, I'm afraid I am, Tone.
Are you?
Listen to this,
I'll Tone. Just get the sick bag.
You do that.
All right.
Break them out, everyone. Okay. Fergie is in even deeper trouble today, Tone. Once again, courtesy of her mystical confidant, Madame Vasso, who has leaked even more revelations from her forthcoming book, The Duchess of York Uncensored, compiled from 6 years of secretly recorded conversations which took place between the two. Yeah. Now, amongst the revelations are claims that Fergie had wanted the entire royal family dead, Princess Anne was a horse, Prince Andrew was a dud root, and generally that she was obsessed with sex and money. In fact, she was very concerned about money, which she refers to on the tapes as chips or potatoes.
Yeah?
But I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into it. Perhaps she really did just want to get her hands on a big pile of chips. At one point on the tape when she says, I need more chips and lots of them, you can actually hear her tummy rumbling on the tape. Yeah. So I'm suspicious. And as for sex...
Yeah.
The Duchess spoke in code when she discussed the men who were on the receiving end of a boudoir pounding. At times, she identified each by a number so that the pair could talk without fear of being bugged. Oh, yeah, that lot of good that does you when Vasso's sitting across the table with her headphones on holding a boom mic. That's an interesting way of dealing with your lovers, isn't it, Tone? Ever seen Fergie trying to decide who to go out on a date with? Looks like a Tats Lotto draw. There's 40 ping pong balls being blown around in machine. It's hosted by John Deeks. The results are posted on the bottom of TV screen, so there's no getting out of it.
This book's a goldmine.
It's a beauty, isn't it?
I can't believe it.
What else have we got? Oh, yeah. Well, that's basically what I'm saying. Trying to have sex with the Duchess of York is not much different from buying ham at a deli. You just take your number and wait, people. Anyway, the Duchess has been mortified by these revelations and was photographed yesterday in tears, being comforted by her personal trainer, Josh Salzman, or, as she likes to call him, number 67, and is still trying to raise the money to fight the publication of the book. She's very unhappy about the Vasso tapes, Tone, but, well, she can't complain because she's done the same thing herself.
Has she?
Listen to this. This is more reports. One of her top aides hid a tape recorder in her knickers after Fergie ordered her to bug a lunch with a businessman. An anxious Fergie said she needed to know if the man who she was wooing for charity cash, that'd be that $8 billion overdraft, whether this bloke liked her. So the bemused aide kept a restaurant date with him, running a wire from the underderps through her bra to a microphone concealed behind a brooch.
You are making this up.
I am not. This is one of Fergie's aides. But her spy mission turned into a knockabout farce as she forgot to switch the recorder on. Headed for the toilet to sort it out and then thrust her breasts towards her dining partner to make sure his voice was picked up. She nearly gave the whole thing away, Tone.
Really?
Because when she got back, he asked her what she'd been doing and she said, oh, I've just been doing number ones. No, number twos. Twos. Check. One, two. Hello, am I on? Sorry. That's a big ask for one of your aides, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mind whacking this tape recorder down the front of your pants? Why didn't Fergie do it herself?
Their pants could house an entire home entertainment unit. The telly could be widescreen. In fact, that's probably why she didn't do it. Last time she secretly taped a conversation, the game was given away when other diners started diving off the amp stacks.
So that's Brian Adams. Just teeing up a night to remember here at Martin Malloy. And, Mick, do you mind if we talk money?
Go for your life.
Let's talk cash, because Arnold Schwarzenegger...
Chips or potatoes, Tony?
Spuds! We're talking spuds in Fergie speak. Arnold Schwarzenegger will get a record 45 million spuds to star in Terminator 3.
Wow.
That's been revealed today. Arnold has always refused to do another Terminator sequel, but says he changed his mind after a visit to the Terminator theme ride at Florida's Universal Studios. Yeah, it would have been that ride at the fun park, not the check for 45 mil,
nah.
I'm sure. Imagine being on the Terminator ride with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wow, that looks great. Check the explosions. Fantastic. Yeah, and look who's sitting behind us. Oh, it's so fake looking. Pissweak. How funny is that forehead look? Arnold, of course, has just pocketed about $35 million a couple of weeks back for his role as Mr. Freeze in the new Batman movie. Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him?
Yep.
He's the Batman villain who, due to a freak accident, has a body temperature of like 100 degrees below zero. Gee, I guess he won't be having the giant codpiece like Batman and Robin. I'm guessing. Yeah, that's what your $35 million compensation's for in that role. Now, at the other end of the financial spectrum, back here in Australia, a 13-year-old boy threatened two younger boys with a pocket knife before making off with 10 cents, a children's court heard yesterday. The grade 6 student pleaded guilty to a charge of armed robbery and was placed on a 12-month good behaviour bond. Gee, 10 cents. Woody, you've been forced to pay it back, do you think? Or would he do a bondy and just offer to give back like 1 cent? I love it when your embattled entrepreneur offers to pay back one millionth of a percent of his tab, thinking that's going to smooth things over. Yeah, I know I lost $17 billion, but I think somewhere at home I've got an ironed $2 note and a Christmas card my Auntie Gwen gave me when I was 9. I could give you that. You could divide that between the shareholders. Is that okay? I'll be off to the yacht club now. Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. I reckon when that happens, the judge should offer to cut the same percentage of time off the sentence. Okay, it's a very generous offer, sir, and in return we'll be knocking 25 minutes off your 15 years. But anyway, it's good to know that the 10-cent bandit has got his comeuppance.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually say whether they've discovered his haul yet. His booty. He may have buried it. He'll wait for a few years till the heat's off before digging it up. You know where he could have hidden the money?
No.
The 10 cents? Inside that regurgitator bloke, Stevie Starr, who swallows the coins and brings them up in a different order. Yeah, just mind this for me, will you? The cops are on me tail. No worries. He'd be very handy for disposing of stolen goods, that bloke.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Starr, we know you've got the cash. Out with it. All right, and the VCRs, come on. Oh. And those two prize-winning Dobermen, come on out with them. And what about the getaway car? Come on, Star. All right, yeah, just keep the motor running. Very nice. And what about that 7-Eleven chicken torpedo you stole? Hey, what do you take me for? I'm very careful about what I put in my body. That's those mischievous Rembrandts. They'll be there for you at Martin Malloy.
Live from the Sydney Entertainment Centre, Coca-Cola and some pay TV show that'll probably be axed in a couple of weeks present the 1996 Nobel Peace Prizes with the Dalai Lama, Boutros Ghali, Bishop Desmond Tutu, Richard Wilkins, Benazir Bhutto, Malcolm Fraser, Diesel, Pope John Paul II, Nelson Mandela, Swoop, Benjamin Netanyahu, Wendy Matthews, Yasser Arafat, Old Sky Daddies, Mother Teresa, and radio personalities you've never heard of.
Hi, I'm Tony Mo. I'm Tony Mo.
Yeah, okay.
Woo!
Love you, people.
Yeah, yeah. Nobel Prize winners.
Okay. The Nobel Prize is a very important part of the...
Oh, I can't read that. Yeah, let's just say what we think.
Okay.
We yeah. Could you make the words a bit bigger, maybe?
The 1996 Nobel Peace Prizes, with awards for most peaceful struggle for an independent homeland, best plea for calm and understanding, best video of historic peace settlement being signed, best debut hunger strike, best female negotiator, most popular pilgrimage, and sarong of the year. It's the Dalai Lama again! With a surprise appearance by Alexander Downer.
Oh, oh, ow, oh, ow. Oh, bit of a bungle there. Oh, ow, oh, ow. People starting to spark now. Oh, ah.
This truly is the peace industry's night of nights.
Okay, we're here again to present the award for Best Hostage Release of 1996.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, and unfortunately the Tamil Tigers can't be here to accept it in person, but they've asked us to attach the award to a car and drive it through the front windows of the embassy.
All right.
The 1996 Nobel Peace Prizes, coming soon to Channel 10. Come on, let's make some peace.
It's Queen with their crazy little thing called love here at Martin Malloy. In the next hour, Judith Lucy is dropping by for her weekly visit. Is there anything else for her to talk about? Is there anything left?
I'm sure she'll come up with something, Tone.
Yep, and she always gives us a straight answer. That's what I like about Judith Lucy. And you know her show? I think An Impossible Dream might be on in Melbourne at the moment. I think it might be opening tonight. Is that correct, Gracie?
Ooh. Well, Jude will sort us out on that, but well worth a look.
Yeah, if she thinks we're going to plug it, she's got another thing coming. And what about Sticky Beaks? We'll be doing that in the next hour. We'll be having a particularly annoying episode of Radio Gladiators coming up soon. Uh-huh. And here's a topic I've been reading a lot about lately, Mickey. Cyber sex.
Cyber sex.
Yes, couples or even strangers are closer to having sex in cyberspace thanks to a device being pioneered by Australian scientists. Gee, would that be a government-sponsored project? Is that sex coming out of our pockets? Is our hard-earned being blown on some nerdy boffin who can't get a girlfriend? Because I ask you, is this going too far? People would don goggles, masks, and a special cyberspace suit. Mm. Kind of like that sort of lawnmower man outfit.
Right.
So you've got that on, and then you can take part in the sexual practice of your choice with people on the other side of the planet. Mm. Gee, that'll save a bit of time. You know, now you can work late on the computer, at the office, and enjoy a healthy and active sex life with your partner at home simultaneously.
Lovely.
That's what that person on Radio Gladiators the other day, remember the
which
girl whose boyfriend had to choose between her and the computer.
Correct.
He could have combined the two.
Sorted.
But, you know, I'm worried about it because what say you got a cross line? Because, you know, it's all through the phone cables. One minute you could be making love to your wife while she's visiting Relays in Canada. The next second you could be on the job with a hefty bearded bloke in a Captain Picard T-shirt misusing his university net connection. Mind you, it could mean a new sexual revolution with your computer brains becoming the new studs of cyberspace. Think about that for a moment. Stephen Hawking could be the next Warren Beatty. And Bill Gates, he's pretty keen to get control of cyberspace. He's always going on about that. Next time you see him on the front of Time magazine, he'll be dressed like a pimp from Starsky and Hutch going, "Cyberspace, come in, you like girls." That's what his motto will be.
Bill Gates dressed as Hugh Hefner.
I think we're going to
smoking a cyber pipe in his cyber robe.
He's been under the psychic cone, I reckon.
There you go.
But what about, we're going to have to keep up to date with this because it's a new field, cyber sex. Mm. We are going to become your cyber sex connection, Martin Malloy.
Good. And sticking with sex just for a minute, can I change pace?
Sure.
Listen to this. It's time to scotch a rumour doing the rounds, Tone. Listen up, people. Whitney Houston is not pregnant.
Yeah.
All right? Have you got that straight? She is not pregnant, but has said in an interview with the New York Post that she and husband Bobby Brown are trying for another baby. Now, that's interesting, isn't it, Tone? Because I've known for a while that Bobby's been trying to have a baby. He's been quite desperate, in fact, but I'm just surprised to see he's finally got the wife involved.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
You're listening to Martin Malloy, I'm afraid, and it's time for this
Radio you, Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Here's one we haven't done for a while, Mickey. Little things that annoy you.
Good.
Not big things like a national radio program.
No.
Little things, little tiny things like, you know, when your nanny dobs you into the cops after 12 years. When she's into your smarties and telling the tabloids. That's annoying.
You lose on both counts.
Okay. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for little things in the past. Yep. We've had people walking around all day with a tag sticking out of the top of their jumper.
Oh, that's smart.
Oh, that's very annoying. I've talked about how I hate it when somebody beats me, someone in the house beats me to pop on the top of the instant coffee with a knife, with a butter knife. Oh, I have to do that.
Yeah, it's your pleasure.
That's my job. I demand nothing else around the house.
No one does it quite like you.
But when the instant coffee comes out, it's got to be me. And I've said before, if someone beats me to it, I get in the car, I drive to a supermarket, I do every single jar in the shop. I don't care.
I've seen it.
It's a frenzy.
You took me there. I drove you there once. You had a gun to my head. We're in a white Bronco.
I'm in the supermarket. They're playing the psycho music. Every last jar of Nescafe. All right. What are the ones we've done? I'm just trying to think of some of the other ones we've done. Let's talk about new ones. Let's come up. What's annoying you?
All right. Here's one. You know what I hate? When you get your clothes back and you put them on and they haven't been dried properly. You know what I mean? They're still a little bit damp. I hate that. You slip the tracky dacks on and they're still just a tad damp. It's awful. Yeah. And I always suspect the worst. I'm always going, oh no, my incontinence pad is leaking again. But it's not. It's usually, you know what it is? Mummy hasn't dried them properly. So it's on the phone and big bakes for her. Don't let it happen again. No cutting corners. Do you understand me?
Does she still live on the other side of the country?
Nope. Just up the road.
Okay. You know, when she was living in Perth, that was great when you were just sending the washing over on that, you know, overnight flight back.
Overnight
again.
What?
All right, what about this? Do you get your newspaper delivered, Mickey?
Yes, I do.
Does it come in glad wrap?
Yes, it does.
When did that start happening?
I don't know.
And it's obviously, you know, to stop the paper from getting wet. But you're getting it in the middle of summer. There's no rain on the horizon. And it's wrapped up, and it's wrapped up like Laura Palmer's body in Twin Peaks. And it just takes hours to get undone. That time, usually the news is out of date.
The afternoon paper's out.
That's right.
You rush down the shop and get it.
You've opened it up and you see, what? Howard's Prime Minister now? I hate it. And I, again, like with the coffee, get very impatient and the psycho music starts playing and I just start taking to it with a knife.
There you go.
And I'm sitting there with a shredded document like Oliver North going, what happened today? Can't read a word of this. Anything else? Just little stuff that annoys you.
You know what I don't like?
What's that?
People who swig medication from the bottle.
Have you seen that?
It's not a good look, Tone. See, I'm a traditionalist. I like to use one of those little plastic measuring cups. You know, the ones with little marks on the side, which is incidentally what I use to take my apple ties. It's. I know it's a bit clinical, but that's what I do when I'm taking my medication. And you can make it festive. A couple of ice cubes, little umbrella on the side, and you're in the swing of it. But you've got to use the little plastic cups. No swigging from the bottle.
And suddenly you're having a tropical Vicks 44.
That's what it's all about. You're in a hammock. You're a million miles away. There are sitar music playing.
You're Chris Isaac all of a sudden. Here's what I hate. Here's a little thing I hate. When you're on a plane and the plane lands and it's doing that final little drive, you know, it's being overtaken by insects walking along the... It's doing that final little drive and you get told off for still having your seatbelt on.
That's right.
And you go, what can happen at this speed? What is going to happen? Are we going over a couple of speed bumps? What's going to happen at this speed? Is it is the captain going to spot a good park and race another 747 door? Hang on, we're getting that good park! We'll be first out of here if we park here! What can happen at that speed?
It's not like you've got to traverse a level crossing or anything, is it?
You never know when you might go right through the screen with Mr. Bean on it. If they take off all of a sudden. All right, well, I think that's enough examples. We're looking for little things, not big things. Little things that annoy you. Do we have a prize?
Thank
you very much. The Martinets, my backing group who follow me everywhere these days. It's a tax write-off, don't you worry. We have got a prize. You and a friend will be spending, I'm not sure the exact period of time. We must find out. Anyway, you're going to be in accommodation, five-star accommodation in your hometown or the nearest town that's got five-star accommodation. There's every single extra you can imagine. There's a little box of Smarties under the bed. That's just how good it is. And the cleaning lady's keeping mum. So call us now with the little thing that annoys you. 1-800-657-657.
SAFM.
That's Sonia Dada. You don't treat me no good no more. It's Radio Gladiators. And today we're simply looking, as we often do, we're looking for, little things that annoy you. Whenever we do this topic, Mickey, there's a race. There's a race for people to call up and say, Angry Anderson! And you get through seven or eight of those before you get to the proper ones.
Oh, yeah.
It does amuse us the first time.
That's correct.
All right, we've got a lot of annoyed people on the line. Who's the first, Mickey?
Well, it's Peter. How are you, buddy?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Not too bad at all. What's annoying you?
Every time we go out shopping, the wife likes to buy those ornamental fridge magnets.
Oh, yeah.
By the time we get them home and put them on the fridge, the ornament seems to always fall off and we're left with a fridge full of little round magnets.
Oh, yes.
And well, they're sliding down.
They start
up somewhere near the freezer and you come home and they're dagging around near the salad crisper.
All the bills are gone everywhere.
Yes, I hate fridge magnet creep. I won't stand for it at my place. And then, of course, there's just the fridge magnets that aren't good enough to hold nothing on. I don't believe the stress testing on fridge magnets is serious enough.
Absolutely.
No, they're not real strong.
Yeah. You know what they need? One of those bastards that can lift a car.
That's right.
You know those ones that lift cars and crushes them?
I got one of them on the top of my fridge.
Yeah.
I've got bills going back 5 years. You can't move them. Can't move them. Thanks, Peter. I think that's annoying a lot of people. Mm. Do we have Janelle? Janelle, what's annoying you?
People that park across two parking spots, especially when they're in old Volvos.
Oh, well, I think you've got two separate annoyances there. Let's tackle the first one, cars that take up two spaces.
Yeah, that gets you every time. Yeah. I think you're definitely in the majority there, Janelle.
It's a bit of a line ball, though, because is it someone who's just can't decide and has thought, my car's tops enough to have two, or is it somebody who's been set up, someone who's had to take that position because of the previous arrangement of the vehicles?
I never like to take the side of the person who's left the car like that. I always assume the worst. I think it's the only thing you can do.
Look at that! Look at that insensitive ass!
And that's
why you're your order!
And that's when we get to see your golf swing in action, Mickey, in my experience. All right, Janelle, pretty annoyed about that, are you?
Yeah, they park in the middle on purpose.
Yeah, well, okay. That sounds pretty definitive.
Remember that really long limo tone?
It would take up 22 spaces.
It did indeed.
All right, we've got Greg on the line now. What's annoying you, Greg?
Okay, guys, it's when you invite your boss or prospective in-laws around for a posh dinner or barbecue and you get the nice big bottle of Fountain Red out and you've got that congealed black ring of sauce right around the lip of the bottle that you forgot to clean off.
Oh, yes. You've got the tomato sauce lip.
Yep.
And it just forms. You can have a new bottle of tomato sauce, 1 year of it, and, you know, it's pretty much clogged up there.
There within days.
The good thing about it is if you run out of no more gaps, I find a bit of white crow does the trick.
That's good. But then when you go to everybody else's place, they suffer from the same problem.
Yeah. Especially when they've got one of those plastic tomatoes. You know, the actual tomato sauce bottle that takes on the form of a tomato.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's a fair. Have you seen that little accessory, Greg?
I certainly have.
That's a beauty, and you hate to see it clogged up.
Yeah.
It just takes the edge off it, I find. All right, thanks, Greg. That's annoying. We've got Andrew now. What's annoying, Andrew?
Well, what really gets up my nose is when you're driving down the highway and you're stuck behind, say, a Mercedes or a BMW, and they decide to pass a car in a left-hand lane and they're doing about 1 kilometre faster than that bloke.
Oh, dear. Is that happening to you right now, Andrew?
No. Unfortunately, I'm not in the car at the moment, but...
It looks like some kind of precision driving team, doesn't it, as they go side by side for about 10 k's down a major thoroughfare.
You know,
you could have a bloke with one leg on either roof, you know, waiting to grab onto a helicopter or something. It's just not right. Are you overtaking or aren't you? Make up your mind. Here's some thinking music.
It's the slow speed overtake that often crosses two state lines. I hate that. That's very annoying. Thanks very much, Andrew. Andrea is with us, and she's got something to tell us about that's annoying. What is it, Andrea?
Yeah, I've got two things.
Yes.
The first one is when you finally get a ringtone on the Martin and Malloy show.
Oh, yes.
Then no one picks up.
Oh, we're picking up as much as we can, Andrea. It's a frenzy in here. It's not like a Volvo overtaking a BMW. It's like two mad bastards reaching for the phones.
But you finally get a ringing tone. You think, yes, I got a chance, and then no one picks up.
We apologise. That is annoying.
And I'm kind of sorry now we did pick up.
The second one is when you, this really bugs me. You go through the fast checkout lane in the supermarket, and the person in front of you pays for their chewing gum with a check or a bank card.
Yes, the Dalai apparently did just that when he was shopping at Clancy's yesterday. There was a huge queue of people behind him going, come on, idiot. He insisted. He's got the credit card out that bounced. Then he's writing checks saying, you know, I know John Allen. Come on, just guess it.
Yes, I hate that when you get an elaborate financial transaction for a chupa chup. That's no good at all. Thanks, Andrea. We've got Peter now. He's annoyed about something. What is it, Peter?
When you're waiting at a set of traffic lights to walk across the road with about 10 other people, and some idiot pushes his way through the crowd and goes click, 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 click on the button.
Oh, when you've already done it yourself.
And all 10 of you have done it, and you look at each other and say, yeah, that's what we forgot.
Okay. It's somebody with the authority to perform that task properly.
There should be one designated button pusher.
Yes.
Well, the first person there, right?
Yeah, maybe a little hat. Maybe each intersection should have a little hat. Whoever's pressed it gets to wear the hat until you hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, maybe something like that.
Goes clear.
Sensible ideas, and plenty of them.
Yep. They just keep coming on this segment, don't they?
Will they keep coming as we talk to Sharon? Sharon, what's annoying you?
What's annoying me is, like, I love the perforations on the postage stamps.
Oh, yeah.
And then the post office lady does it for me. And, like, I love doing it. You know, the white little edge.
Oh, the little extra bit. The little inexplicable.
I love doing it. And then they do it for me. Yeah. And that annoys me.
Oh, well, that's pretty small. That's pretty annoying.
You're passionate about that too, aren't you, Sharon?
Yeah.
If you've handed over, you know, 43 or so cents for a stamp, them's your perforations. They're my perforations, lady.
I'm ordering do-it-yourself stamps. Get your grubby hands off them, lady.
And do you cause a scene when it happens, Sharon? Do you go off in the post office?
Well, I just stand there looking really annoyed, thinking, boy, I don't buy them very regularly, but it's mine.
Tell you what to do, Sharon. Send them a letter of complaint. But you'll need stamps!
Here's how you can get your own back, Sharon. Reach over and have a little play with this spongy thing. Oh, they hate that.
Careful.
They hate it when you have a go on their spongy thing. That's for qualified postal workers only. All right, that's pretty annoying. Which of those particular entries is the most annoying? Fridge magnets, tomato sauce, overtaking. Maybe just for pure small pettiness. That
I think
last
we're going
one.
To the last
one.
Stamps, needless annoyance I've ever heard of without question.
All right,
a
Sharon.
Defrocked stamp. Okay. Got the honour of today's Gladiators winner.
And
thanks to our extremely good friends at Lipton's. Nothing annoying about their new range of herbal flavours. Guess what? And here's one of those flavours. Blackcurrant and lemon.
Oh, yes, please.
I'm just going to be tantalising you with one every day, Mickey. There's one there. You've got, well, a period of time in a luxury five-star hotel. How's that? And they don't tear nothing. You get to tear everything you want at that particular hotel. Thanks for taking part, Sharon. Thanks to everybody.
That's great. Gee,
that's made up for the fiasco at the post office, hasn't it? All right, we'll be back with something less annoying, hopefully, tomorrow on Radio Gladiators. And in the next hour, we'll be joined by Judith Luce.
This is Martin Malloy.
Any further disturbance of this nature, and I shall order the bailiffs to clear the court.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, Sticky Beaks, Mick Malloy, Lord of the Dance, and next up, the ever-informative Judith Lucy, all thanks to Coca-Cola. You might know it as the ultimate summer refreshment. Simply Red, here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour of the program. If you're just joining us, it's been pretty annoying so far.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the way we designed it. That's the way we wanted it. Let's get somebody else involved. Now, this woman, You might have seen her on the telly. You might have seen her in one of her stage spectaculars. Or if you were walking past her house last week, you might have seen her dancing topless on a coffee table with a bottle of fine Australian wine in her hand. It's the star of Showgirls, Judith Lucy.
Can talk to me like that because you've been hanging out with Glenn A. Baker at the ARIA Awards. It's just gone straight to your head.
Yeah, Glenn A. He was on the tear the other night.
It's hard to get a word in, isn't it? Oh, look. He's
can
a
I
super
ask what's
brain.
Going on with the hair?
Oh, look. Yeah, we did.
Glenn is working on...
There's nothing up top, but, you know, you could do a bit of skipping rope work with the back.
I don't want to see Glenn A. Baker doing those ads like Greg Matthews. Do you want to see that, Judith?
No, I don't, but I don't know if I want to see Glenn A. Baker full stop.
Oh, look, that's very rude. Glenn A. Baker is the rock super brain of the universe. Do you know anyone else who can say that apart from Molly Meldrum and the other super brains?
Well, that's true. You've got me there. And they've all got that hair thing happening. So maybe when you become a super brain, it just that's, you know, the side effect.
Oh, I see. Well, okay. That's why we've still got something up top at the moment. Anyway, Jude, look, we've been charting your descent into madness over the last few weeks. Since you've come back from overseas, I think it's no secret that basically you've lost your marbles.
Yes.
How's that going?
Well, a few screws still rolling around on my floor, I'm happy to say. I think I could be getting a little bit better. I've only got one story to report from this last week.
Okay.
Few friends round at the flat. It's a bit late at night. I'm having a chat to a friend when all of a sudden out of the corner of my eye, I notice that one of my girlfriends is having a bit of a pash.
Yeah.
So I've stood up at that point, apparently, rather conveniently. I have no memory of it. I've stood up and I've gone, oh, no, there'll be none of that. I'm afraid there'll be none of that. Maybe at this point in the story you think I'm going to say, oh, look, you two, why don't you go into my bedroom or back to your place? But no, I've apparently walked across the floor, ripped this boy out of my girlfriend's hands, have dragged him into my bedroom and have gone, if there's going to be any kissing, I'm afraid it's going to be with me.
Is that right?
And do you give him numbers, Jude, like Fergie does? Number seven.
But that's what killed me, the fact that the boy didn't seem fazed by it at all. And I thought, you know, as long as you've got your tongue stuck down someone's throat, you're not that fast. I thought, thank God my grandmother's not staying with me, because she could probably just pop in and say, look, it's my turn. And you'd go, okay, Nan, I'll be with you in a sec.
See, the thing about Judith is when Judith's psychic advisor comes to write the book, there's going to be nothing left.
No revelations.
She's going to be sitting there going, oh, that was on Martin Malloy. Oh, no, she mentioned that on Martin Malloy.
Yeah. Can I give you some advice, Jude?
Please, Mick.
Watch the nanny. She'll be poking around under your bed in no time. You won't get custody of nothing. All right?
Now, let's not suggest that you're the only mad person around Judith Lucy, because occasionally we like to dip into the Judith Lucy mailbag. I remember last year it might have been, or possibly earlier this year, you told us about Ned, the Nut of the North, who's got a bit of a correspondence going with you. Is that one of his missives there? What's that?
No, I think, look, and may I just say, right here and now, never let it be said that I haven't met some terrific men through this business. I think I've met a bit of a competitor for Ned.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Okay,
what, so you're just going to toss Ned aside, are you? Ned the Nut of the North is yesterday's news.
Look, it was actually Ned that was in my girlfriend's arms, and I said, Ned, you're coming with me, big guy.
That's Ned for you. Who's this?
Okay, starts off with wonderful Judith, you're magnificent. I'm thinking, okay, this is sounding pretty good.
So far, so good.
Okay, you make this 57-year-old man laugh. I'm thinking that's still lovely. I like appealing to all age groups.
Sure.
Your name is up on my wall. Starting to get a bit nervous here. I'm thinking, is that because you've written it there over and over again? Then we've got, I rarely drink and used to be in the ministry. So now I'm thinking, okay, we've got the 57-year-old ex-priest with my name on the wall. It gets better.
Hang on, really drink ministry. This is where you start to take opposite paths.
Well,
really,
I did think, you know, you fool, it'll never work. But then he's got, but I have in large letters inhaled, quotation marks. And I'm thinking, well, I hope you've done that once or twice, actually.
How old's the president of the United States? So he'd be around 50.
He'd be about that.
Oh, but, well, then he's got an alias, but we'll get to that in a minute. But
okay.
I'm thinking, I hope you have inhaled, and or I'm hoping that the problem is that you weren't doing a lot of that when you were first born. But anyway, and then he goes on to say, and I've even done a bit of heavy once again, in quotation marks, I'm thinking, I have no idea what heavy is. But then I read the next line, which is, everything, underlined, 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 is beautiful.
Okay. He's done a lot of heavy lifting.
Well, I'm
He's
thinking,
moved a few fridges.
Whatever heavy is, I think you've done an awful lot of it. Then the last paragraph is my favourite. Humour, Judith, is the most holy aspect of God. Which is, I'm sure, while we're all in this business.
Yes, that contrasts with a lot of the letters we get, I'm afraid. Jesus, he was a great stand-up. He had a great 20-minute bracket.
Yeah. He's a riot. I mean, when he was turning those people into pillars of salt, he was just kidding around.
Was that him? Or was that someone? Did he steal that?
That wasn't his material.
You're right, David Copperfield. And then, dare I say that God giggles? And he signed the letter, I'm Beautiful, because his full name is Beautiful All.
Beautiful All.
Beautiful All. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, 57-year-old ex-priest still believes in God. He's inhaled. He's still doing a bit of a heavy. He's changed his name to Beautiful All. He's obviously had a mental breakdown at some point. Hello, Mr. Wright.
Beautiful All, he's 57, so he's much too old to be one of Paulie Yates' kiddies. So that eliminates that.
And well, you're reading that out, and is that written on paper, or has he just chipped some plaster off the wall there, Jude?
Well, it's written, as I think you can see, on a beautiful kind of a rainbow colour. He's stuck some stars on. He's done a lot of underlining. And when I opened it, some dried petals.
Oh, beautiful. What a touch. Well, I hope you'll be maintaining a correspondence with all.
You try and stop me. And this will surprise you. He lives in Queensland.
Gee, well.
He's another nut of the north.
That is where Ned came from.
Okay, well, I think we've exhausted the mailbag, but I believe you've got something else to talk about, Jeff.
Oh, I always have.
That'll be next on this program. Martin Malloy. In Too Deep, that's Belinda Carlisle here at Martin Malloy.
She's not the only one.
No, Judith Lucy.
I think that could be a song written for me.
You've got the mags out, Jude. That's always a bad sign.
What is that? Especially when I've had a bit of a look at Women's Forum.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been down that road for a while, and by golly, I've missed it. I've had to go straight to the centrefold because, you know, I'm that kind of girl.
Okay.
And on the front of the centerfold, they have written, Women's Forum is delighted to deliver the hunk with the luscious locks and the humongous chopper, Jerry Pike. Humongous chopper, not a phrase I was that familiar with.
No.
Sounding a bit like he's just got a helicopter between his legs, which
well,
is lovely.
Well, funny you say that, because I used to have a friend from Scotland who lived in New Zealand, and the phrase chopper is bandied about in that regard in New Zealand occasionally. And he's...
Does Chopper Reed know that?
We're going to Hobart, Jude.
We don't want to find out.
And anyway, he found it hilarious that there was a show called Chopper Squad on the television. Where's Chopper Squad? What are you doing showing Chopper Squad? What's up, Lord, running around with the ducks out? That's what he used to say every time Chopper Squad came on.
Well, we see a lot of Jerry's chopper in the centrefold. Mm-hmm. The first photo that caught my eye was a gorgeous picture of Jerry. He's got his back to the camera. For no apparent reason, he just has a piece of cheesecloth draped over his shoulder, along with a very long, large piece of ivy. So it actually looks like the ivy is growing out of Jerry's back, which you have to say is pretty sexy. In fact, I won't go near a man unless he's got a small shrubbery somewhere on his body, because I like to be able to caress a man and get some cuttings for my garden at the same time. I'm onto something here.
Don't forget the secateurs, Jude. Next time you go for a bit of roly-poly with Jerry.
But now I'm afraid I've got to show you the main photo.
Hello!
It's chopper time at Martin Malloy.
It's Jerry completely nude, apart from, once again, the inexplicable bit of cheesecloth over the shoulder and the most enormous pair of white wings strapped to Jerry's back, covered in white feathers, so he's looking a bit Birdman Rally.
You know, that would get the ratings up, I think, if that was the look they would adopt at the rally.
I think he's got a few aerodynamic problems in the downstairs department there, Jude, which might affect his final dive.
But I'm just thinking, hello, I look like a cross between Fabio and a seagull. And I'm just actually really glad, though, because I thought I was the only girl that was into the bird thing. Because quite often I'll get boys around and I'll say, look, I find you really attractive, but can you just strap this beak onto the front of your head? But then they had a little bit of a chat to Jerry, and as you can imagine, he's a bit of an intellectual powerhouse.
Oh, yes. Oh, take us through the fact sheet.
What's it like being a porn star? And Jerry says, well, I don't like being called a porn star. You can call me an erotic film star. That's a different image. And it is totally different. I mean, I know that that's how Laurence Olivier saw himself. So, and then Jerry goes on to say, I've won acting awards and I'm an ex-Chippendale. So I am wondering what kind of acting awards Jerry's won. You know, best use of a piece of cheesecloth, possibly.
The prestigious Chopper d'Or, I'm mentioning.
But the fun doesn't stop there.
Doesn't
there
it?
Oh, no. Then I've had to have a look at Body Talk, which is where they talk to couples and they photograph them nude, but I probably didn't need to add that. It's Women's Forum.
No.
Anyway, they ask each other, you know, what parts of each other's bodies turn them on. And anyway, Bjorn says of Jacqueline, when they say which parts of her body turn you on, he goes, the top of her head when she's bald is sexy beyond belief. Now, that's where I've been going wrong. I've been concentrating on other features, such as my face. I am popping into my hair salon tomorrow, and I'm saying, look, I want that Friar Tuck look, and I want it right now, thanks.
Yes, I've seen you eyeing up the Dalai Lama, Jetta Plessy.
But now...
They see women in the bathroom with their little compacts checking out the back of their head. For a change. That'd be nice.
Maybe just seeing that on the cover of a raunchy magazine, just the top of a woman's head and underneath. Whoa!
Check out the patch on that.
And Jacqueline... hates it when she catches Bjorn watching Murder One, too.
It's either me or Teddy!
Okay. What have you got for us there, Judy?
I want to see Teddy in Women's Forum wearing nothing but two wings. Can we organise that?
Check out the chopper. I have no further statements.
What have you got to boot this thing home with, Jude?
Come on. Finish the job you came in and do.
It's hard to know where to go, but look, the classiest bit of the magazine is a little section called Studleys, where girls send in photographs of their boyfriend, generally nude.
Yes,
and now King Stud of the Month is a guy called Stumpy. And
it's not our friend David Boone, I'm hoping.
Oh, please.
Well, Stumpy is into drinking beer and dropping his dacks at the pub.
Could be.
And fortunately, we've got a lovely Polaroid of Stumpy doing just that.
Yes.
And I remember Linda Gibson, when she used to talk about the Victoria Bitter Beer ad, said, don't those guys look like a fridge with a dick? And that's a fairly accurate description of Stumpy, although I'm guessing he's possibly a dick with a fridge as well. But I looked at that letter and, you know, I couldn't help thinking to myself, you know, if I had that photograph of Stumpy, if I was Stumpy's girlfriend, not only would I not send that into a national publication, but possibly I would have killed myself by now.
Yeah, well, it's like a lot like you, T. Martin, post-Arias.
All I can say, Jude, is keep an eye on your mailbag for letters from Stumpy. Oh, I'm guessing.
I reckon Stumpy, Beautiful, and Ned, and me. That's what I'm thinking.
We'll see if we can tee it up, Jude. It's that kind of program.
I know.
Now, I'm afraid we're going to have to say goodbye to you now, Judith. Not for any censorship reasons, not because the station manager's banging on the glass.
You did want to mention...
I did want to mention that if you're in Melbourne, you can pop along and see a plethora of hilarity at the Forum on Sunday, I think at 8 o'clock. It's the Brian McCarthy Moosehead Award. There'll be me, so I don't need to mention anyone else. But Greg Fleet, Anthony Morgan, The Empty Pockets, all the usual suspects.
Jerry from Women's Forum. He'll be there.
Jerry will be there, just Stumpy. With the wings. Stumpy, Ned, they'll all be there. And there is a special guest. Now, I know you usually think, oh, people always make that up, but I know for a fact there is a special guest that can't be mentioned, so it should be a top night.
That's the Mooseheads at the Forum.
That's it.
In Melbourne. Well, thanks for joining us today, Jude. We'll see you again next week.
Try and keep me away.
All right, but Pete Smith, he's chomping at the bit, people, to say these words.
It's time to invade the privacy of fellow Australians as we play Sticky Beaks. Here's how it works. We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Malloy. During the break, Mick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other. If you're our winning Sticky Beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany. where you'll be presented with the 1,000,000th copy of Crowded House's Recurring Dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. As I've mentioned before, listeners, I myself have been sticky beaked. Just last week, the British CIB decided to raid the London flat I used to share with actress Patsy Kensett. According to the tabloids, 15 bow ties were taken away for forensic analysis. Oh, and a rather unsavory photograph was discovered. It was one I cut out of the newspaper of the Duchess of York eating a chocolate eclair. I had it taped to the front door to frighten away burglars. Harsh, I know, but, well, it's all in the hands of my lawyer now. Give them hell, Teddy.
Oh, you too, Pete.
Everyone's getting on board the Teddy boat. Hey, is that murder one on? I'm just reaching over for the...
Tone, not only is it on, you get two big hours tonight. It's Teddy Mania. It doesn't stop.
No, you don't. It's only 1 hour, according to the paper. I think that's next week.
You
see, that's
are
the thing.
A clown.
It says, look, 9:30 to 10:30. Maybe in some states you're getting 2 hours.
Oh, what's going on? Yeah. I've been led a merry dance.
No, you've been led a merry dance because you always think it's going to be the last episode with Murder One. It's been the last episode. It's been closing statements for about 5 weeks.
So you only get 1 hour tonight.
Well, yeah,
no,
I'm afraid
it's not
so.
Enough.
You can tape it and watch it twice.
I will be.
All right.
Don't you worry about that.
Okay, we're playing Sticky Beaks today, as we often do at this time. So if you'd like to be beaked, if you'd like to, well, first have some information prized out of you, and then have it used against you on national radio, call us now for that experience, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
SAFM.
Yes, here at Martin Malloy, it's time to, well, have a poke about in things that don't concern us. It's Sticky Beaks. It's a pretty simple idea for a competition. We're simply pitting two of our listeners against each other. We have the information. Who are the contestants?
Check the beak on this bloke. It's Ben. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing good.
You're
How
doing
are you
good?
Guys?
Yeah, we can't complain. How's your day been?
It's been okay.
Any highlights, anything we need to know about?
I just went to the orthodontist, that's about it.
Oh, is it serious work? Is there a lot of pulleys? Is there a lot of metal work?
I've just had to get my braces tightened.
Oh, gee.
All right.
And does that mean you're going to be on edge for 3 or 4 days, snapping at people?
Yep, probably.
Yeah, okay, Ben, all right.
Go easy on us.
Taking on Ben, we have Tracy. Tracy, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
Had any dental work done today?
No.
Okay, what has taken place around your neck of the woods today?
Not much, just been to work.
Been to work, and let me just check. Can you? Yes, you can tell us what you do. What is that exactly?
I work for an accountant.
Oh, is it as exciting as we've been led to believe?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a busy time of the year for you. You're still doing tax and stuff?
Yeah.
All right.
Gee, any former Australian entrepreneurs been in for a bit of shonky work?
No, not yet.
None of that. Okay. Well, let's get the beaking underway proper, shall we? And why don't you start things, Mickey?
Okay, don't mind if I do. Tracy, the last sporting event Ben attended was A, swimming carnival, B, an athletics carnival, C, an illegal cockfight round at Paul Clitero's place.
B.
An athletics carnival is wrong. It was swimming, wasn't it, Ben?
Yes, it was.
Can you swim in the braces?
Yes, I can.
You can? Oh. Were you in the swimming event or were you watching?
I was participating.
Yes. Okay. And I know that sounds unlikely, an illegal cockfight at Paul Clitheroe's place. He only looks like a straight kind of bloke on the telly. He's a wild man, as we know, off camera.
It's a money-making scheme. He takes bets.
Of course.
It's sound investment, Tom.
All right, here's a question for you, Ben. Something Tracy would pay upward of $10,000 for at a celebrity auction is A date with Robin Williams, B, a Jimi Hendrix guitar, C, one of those LAPD photographs of Michael Jackson's genitals.
Can I go with A?
Yes. The date with Robin Williams. Is that right, Tracy? You got your eye on Robin, have you?
Oh, I think he'd be a scream.
Yes. Have you been following his work from the early days?
Fair bit.
And do you get much Robin Williams-style antics around the office down the accountants?
No.
None of that.
Definitely not.
So I think she wants him to wear the Mork costume, right? She left that out. All right. All right, Tracy, listen to this. Every weekend, Ben likes to A, go raging, B, do some cleaning, C, go parachuting in an Elvis costume.
A.
A? No, I'm afraid it's not. He likes to do some cleaning, don't you, Ben?
Yes.
She cleaned.
He gets back from the orthodontist and just busies himself with some tidying.
All right. What a perfect example for the youth of today.
You know they do. That's quite popular, going parachuting in the Elvis costume.
Yeah.
They call it, what is it, the Flying Elvises?
The Flying Elvises, that's right.
I'm a member of the Flying Beasleys.
Yeah, we go out once a week. It's great fun.
They're kind of scary.
Plummeting out of the sky. Here's a question for you, Ben. When Tracy can't get to sleep, she A, watches TV, B, reads, C, reaches under the bed for a tube of Smarties.
I'll go with C.
No, of course, that's a reference to goings-on round at the Hutchins Yates, or alleged goings-on round at the Hutchins Yates residence, where, a tube of Smarties was allegedly found to contain illegal substances. And what I want to know is, what's the cleaner, what's the nanny doing, fishing around under the bed looking for Smarties? That's somebody with the munchies, if you ask me.
She takes the job very seriously, doesn't she?
Oh, I reckon they should start searching her place. No.
Poking around there.
Tracy likes a read. What are you reading at the moment, Trace? The tax guide?
No, I'm reading a Rich Man, Poor Man.
Oh, right, that's already been a mini-series, hasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
It's already been ruined, but you're still reading it. Good on you.
All right, Tracy. Ben would describe himself as being addicted to A, music, B, reading books, C, hungry, hungry hippos.
A?
Yes, indeed. It's music, isn't it, Ben?
Yes, it is.
What's your favourite music?
Everything.
Everything. Yep. You just don't care. You'll just listen to it.
Yep.
Right. So you mean what? Tijuana Brass? You're on for that?
No.
Well, there you go. There's the
contradicting yourself.
There's a flaw in the everything statement right there. Here's a question for you, Ben. Tracy would describe her boss, who we know is some kind of accountant, as A, chrome dome, B, a bit of a rat bag, C, the snappiest dresser in King's Cross.
Can I go with A?
Oh, no. He's not a teddy at all. He's a bit of a rat bag. Why is that, Tracy?
No, I think it's just probably because we're the same age. I can relate.
Oh, okay. So you're a rat bag yourself. Is that what you're telling us?
Just a bit.
All right. Well, who is our winner today? Do we have anybody? Oh, it's a tie. We're going to go to the tiebreaker. Are you ready for this, Beaks?
Yep.
Okay, here's how it works. I throw a question at you. When I get to the end of the third one, you come in with A, B, or C. We see who gets it right. Here we go. It's a question about me. When he first left school, Tony Martin worked as A, supermarket price check guy, B, forklift driver, C, lusty varlet number 4 at Dirty Decks.
A.
No.
B.
Yes! Believe it or not, I was driving the old forklift.
And it's out the front right now.
The
least in two spots.
That's
he
right.
He does it every morning.
The least convincing forklift driver in history, but that was what I was doing.
You wear a little hard hat?
Oh, yeah, I was into all that.
Did it? Backwards
swear and curse and watching porno videos in the lunch hour. All
chewing tobacco, spitting it out, scratching yourself.
Oh, yeah, and just stealing lots of stuff from work, as is the custom. Now, this means, of course, that Tracy has got the Crowded House CD back catalogue.
Excellent.
And you've gone into the draw for a trip to Germany, and you'll receive the 1,000,000th copy of Crowded House's recurring dream if you come out of the barrel this Friday. And as for you, Ben, you've got a Martin Malloy fashion accessory.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good on you, Ben.
Everyone goes home happy here at Martin Malloy. We'll be back with a couple more Beaks at the same time tomorrow on Martin Malloy.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
You'll be 40 and their red, red wine. How about those sticky beaks, Mickey?
Well, I didn't seem too interested in beacon.
No, well, how's the way when I've thrown the three job options for me when I've left school? They've just leapt on supermarket price check guy. They've obviously seen photographs of me.
That's what they pick you for.
But no, never done any of that. I think I did that on the telly in a humorous comedy spoof at one point. But driving the forklifts in an army surplus store for a whole year. It's fun working in an army surplus store because just about all your customers are wearing camouflage gear. Right. Almost impossible to spot shoplifters. And always looking for bigger knives. You just get guys coming in and going, you got any big knives? And you go, well, I've got this kind of Gurkha kind of a deal.
Have you got any really big knives?
And you never find out what they were used for.
That's all you need to know.
It's all part of life's rich pageant. Let's have some culture now at Martin Molloy.
At last, the long-awaited dance event of the year is here. Do not miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to witness live the brilliant, the awesome, the occasionally sober Mick Molloy, Lord of the Dance.
Hokey pokey.
Whoa, hokey pokey.
Shut up, would
ya? Whoa. One look at Mick as he piss farts about on stage in his figure-hugging tights, and you'll know his sock drawer is completely empty. This 2.5-hour dance spectacular includes all the classics: the Nutbush, the Bus Stop, the Mashed Potato, the Hustle, Ringa Ringa Rosie, and one of the most stunning Mick Jagger impersonations you are ever likely to see. Widely regarded as the master of modern dance, here's what the great Mikhail Baryshnikov said about Mick Molloy earlier this year.
Without doubt, Mick Molloy is the enfant terrible of modern dance.
To which Mick replied,
"Who are you calling an enfant terrible? Cop that, you commie bastard!"
In the world of modern dance, no flame burns brighter than the one poking out of Mick's ass as he performs the haunting Dance of the Flaming Assholes.
Oh, now it's getting a bit hot on the butt. Oh, somebody, quickly, pat me on the bottom. Somebody. Hello, that's hot.
So book early to secure your seats for Mick Molloy, Lord of the Dance. Unquestionably the finest artist since the Bolshoi.
Who are you calling a Bolshoi artist?
Idiot. You always forever says Donna Lewis. Does she really mean it? It's Martin Molloy. It's pretty much time to go. Have we had a phone call, Mick?
We have indeed. Paul Clitero just rang. Our old buddy Paul, host of Channel 9's very popular money program, and he just wanted to say, please, people, stop turning up to his front door with livestock.
That's right.
We had a bit of a joke involving Paul earlier and cockfights, and his phone's been ringing off with people wanting to know, can I place a bet?
You're saying,
you know, do you have enough chooks? Can I bring my own?
You're saying that's a joke now, are you, Mickey? Well, if you want to say that's a joke, fine. Fine. But go round to his place. You'll be knee-deep in blood and feathers.
You know, sometimes when he's hosting those things, he dresses up as a big chook himself.
does he really?
Yeah, he covers himself in feathers.
Yeah.
Squawks around.
Don't be fooled.
A ringing. Tried to win a fight one day.
Don't be fooled by that straight as a die look. He's mustering up for money. And is that on tonight?
My money is on tonight, so give it a look and hopefully he'll beak up. Money tonight will be hosted by a giant chook calling itself Paul Clitero.
I'm just grabbing the paper off. Is it up again? No, it's not up against Mad About You, which is on Channel 10. I'm not a fan of Mad About You, I have
Nor
to say.
Nor am I.
I like Seinfeld. I don't mind Seinfeld because it's one of the few American sitcoms that doesn't go all serious in the last
five
minutes. I think it might be the only one. You know, suddenly it goes all serious.
Yeah.
Like, you never see that in a British sitcom. You wouldn't see, like, Blackadder all of a sudden stop for, what have we learned today, Mr. Adder? And Seinfeld is kind of the only one that doesn't go all serious on you. Mad About You's decided to go totally serious. They've turned it into a drama.
They're not even waiting for the last 5 minutes.
They've been watching too many of those episodes of MASH where Alan Alda would direct and there'd be no laugh track. Remember that? And Radar
would tear up. Oh, something's happened to Radar. Well, that's the only difference I can notice between this and your normal Mad About You. It's just no laugh track. Just as many laughs. But it's incredible. I was watching it the other night going, what are you doing? All of a sudden I'm supposed to be impressed by your incredible depth and acting ability. No! I want a couple of cheap laughs!
You want a couple of cheap laughs? Is that what you're saying? If you want to see Paul Reiser being real funny, get out Diner. D-I-N-E-R on video. There's a top view.
Early bit of work. And have a look at this time while we're talking about it. 8:30 on the ABC, Eichmann, the Nazi fugitive. They've gone all serious too.
Oh, they hate that.
They used to be so funny. You know what I mean? But no, they have to turn it into some soppy kind of moralistic tale.
I'll tell you a show I wish would go serious, and that's Medivac. try doing a serious episode, folks. We've really got to get out of here, and we must thank our guest, Judith Lucy, all our beaks and gladiators. We'll be back tomorrow with... Oh, look, it's such a big guest, we can't tell you who it is. That's right, we don't know yet. So be there tomorrow or be here tomorrow, and if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.